Hey guys, welcome to the Behavior Techs Anonymous podcast. I am your host, Miss Ashley, and I'm a behavior tech. Let's reinforce some of my behaviors. Welcome to this episode of Behavior Techs Anonymous. You guys are lucky today because it's not just going to be me talking to myself. Today, we have the dog mom here with us. Go ahead and say hello.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
So I just have a couple questions that we're going to go over. Nothing too crazy, nothing that we haven't talked about before. So
yeah.
The first one is the one I always ask everybody is how did you find ABA? And how did you did you always know that you wanted to be a BCBA or what? Tell me your story.
Absolutely not. I'm going to say that. I did not always want to be a BCBA. I had no idea what ABA was when I got into the field. Ironically, I went to school for undergrad to be a teacher. and obviously out of school, I kind of saw this place. And I was like, oh, I can be a teacher there. They were hiring teachers. And I went to the place, and it was a school for that specialized in autism and behavior. And they were like, JK, you're going to be an RBT. And I was like, okay, I am fresh out of college. I thought this was my first big, my big people job. I was ready. I was like, okay, throw me in there. I was making good money. Freshly out of undergrad, and I fell in love with it since then. So it kind of found me, I guess you can say.
how long have you worked as an RBT? Or I guess, are you still working as an RBT? Some people fall off.
I am still working as an RBT. I've been working since 2006. 17. I've been working as an RBT.
Dang, girl.
Yeah. I've been working as an RBT for a very long, long, long time. And ironically, right now, I am in that transition piece to become a BCBA because I got very good advice from an old employer, and it was like, your body's not going to be able to move the way it moves. You should look into other options. And I was like, okay, BCBA it is.
No, but that's real though, because that's something that I thought too. The one day I stood up in my hip pop and I was like, I can't do this forever.
Yeah. I was like, my knees are cracking. I was like, I'm fine. And she was like, you're young. Of course you're fine now, but what are you going to do 20 years from now? I was like, you know what? You're right. Let me go back to school. You're fine. You're right. You're right.
You got me there.
Yes. Yep.
So I would like to talk about real quick.
Okay.
You have anything that you kind of hate about ABA or being an RBT? Not to get dark a little fast. However, I
to
kind of wedge that in there.
I don't hate ABA. I actually really love ABA. It's hard being a woman of color and being an RBT.
Okay.
I don't want to say hate. I strongly dislike the fact that I am a woman of color and an RBT. I wish, sometimes I do wish I was just a regular RBT, because I feel like as a minority, my voice is not heard as often. People don't take me seriously as often, or a lot of my ideas, a lot of my research, a lot of my hypothesis suggestions get taken as their own, as if I didn't spend 6 hours looking up the information. And I hate, and I do, I guess I would say, I do believe that my race plays a big part of how I'm treated in this field.
I am a very white woman. However, I do have a lot of just to be clear. I do have a lot of friends who are of color and are RBTs, and I can like, I want to just like kind of like uplift what you're saying and say like, they have expressed similar things to me about how they have, and they've like pointed it out to me. And like it's something that like I personally didn't notice until they pointed it out, how we would be saying the same things, and the way that BCBAs would react to me would be more positive than the way it would they would react to them. And they're saying the exact same things and more. And they would also have like a higher education and have way more experience than me. So
I still deal with that.
And I've noticed it from like BCBAs and clinical directors and supervisors, all from like all colors, kind of having that same insight, and it's extremely not fair.
Absolutely. And as much as I love this field, I love what I do. I love servicing the kids I service. I'm living in it, you know, I live in how certain expectations just, or certain treatment is not right. You know, and I don't mean to like downplay you as a white woman, but I do feel like working in a predominantly white field, my expectations, I got to do more, I got to work harder, I got to work smarter, whereas my peer who is a white woman is not, you know, it's not even half, not even a third of like unrestricted hours they're getting versus of what I'm seeing, but yet we are on this low-key the same playing field. Like, say we're testing around the same time, we're engaging around in the same time, we have the same experience, if I not have more, but the same experience in the field, and I watch it, and there's not really anything I can do about it other than sit and just move on with my day.
And like, it's incredibly unfair, and I felt, I guess, confused personally when I first seen it, because again, I am extremely white. I am privileged in the field in the way like people react to me. And I want to make sure that I can be better in the future, like when I become a BCBA, and be able to advocate for everybody. Because I don't want other people to feel that way. Do you, like, just like off the top of your head, have any advice for people like, I guess, people like me, or people who want to be better at recognizing the, like, almost like the racial barrier of it all? Because it is unfair that that's happening.
Absolutely. So I have worked with some of the world's most amazing BCBA, and one of them is a white woman. Hands down, most amazing human being I've ever, ever, ever met. And I would say, like, the thing that stood out with this woman, she was willing to put herself on the line. And she understood her privilege, and she understood her voice, and she understood the role she played as a BCBA in advocating for somebody like me. And I will forever, forever respect her and love her and cherish her. Like, she is part of my family forever, because she was willing to say, this is not right, and I will not stand for this. And if you don't make it right, then count me out, even if it meant her losing her job. And now I'm not saying everybody needs to do that and risk losing their job, because the world we live in. But I think as a woman of color, seeing that and seeing that how somebody had their back in and out, had their support in a space where their voice wasn't heard, it blew my mind. Obviously she was never punished in our work that I saw, you know, but I think it's just the fact that she could care less. She's like, you're going to hear this woman, you're going to hear what she says. Or if I said something and people brush by it, she was like, oh, let's bring it back. Did you not hear what she just said? She's like, it's hurting her. This is causing her pain. Like, you hurt her feelings. Like, She always brought it back, and I will forever, unfortunately, we do not work together anymore. I have left that area, but we're still friends till this day. She's still my mentor till this day. And she's a white woman, and I have never felt so respected and so safe around a person not of color.
Yeah,
in my life.
Aww. That's really cute. I want to say it's like refreshing almost that you've had like a good experience, because a lot of times, like with anybody of any color, I haven't come across a lot of people who have good things to say about their supervisors, just like period about anything. So just the fact that she was just like supporting you and you felt like comfortable and safe. That's very
important. For sure. I think it's just, although where I have transitioned away from was not a good experience for me. It was definitely horrible. The one blessing that place gave me was mentors. The best BCBAs I've ever met in my life. Two of them are Black women, and then one of them is this white woman. I mean, hands down, and I will forever cherish that place I parted ways from, because they gave me that and they showed me that, you know, being a BCBA, you can do these things and you can support your RBTs and you can. What do you need? How can I support you? You're always supporting us. How can we support you? And I will forever, forever be thankful of that place. The best people, the best mentors in my life.
So then, kind of like extending from that, what is something, what are the things that you like really like about, I guess, ABA, or things that kind of like bring you joy about being like an RBT, and, you know, other than your aging body, what made you want to be a BCB?
I love working with the population we do, which is servicing kids on the spectrum, because I feel, and I can relate in some way, the world has counted them out. Like, they're not going to get it. It's too hard, or they will never be able to do this. And then when it clicks for them after they've gotten services, whether it's been a month, whether it's been 6 months, and it just clicks, and they're gaining more independent skills, and, you know, a parent comes back to you, it's like, wow, they showered on their own, they washed their hair on their own for the first time, and I've never seen that. They are toilet trained, and I've been trying to toilet train them for 6 years, and they've had no accidents. I think that is what keeps me going, knowing that I can support and I can hear these kids who are nonverbal, that they have a voice. They can do these things. They just need a little support along the way. Yeah. And I think that is definitely what keeps me going. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Being a BCBA, again, like I said before, was something I never wanted to do. But I hold a lot of that, of seeing my mentors be phenomenal BCBAs. And then there was a situation that happened in my last place of employment from a BCBA. And I was like, you know, I can't really say anything because I'm just an RBT. So how do I gain access to kind of be on the same playing field when I'm like, you know, this is not right. Like, it's not okay, where I feel like I'm going to be heard. And I was like, I need to get my credentials. And then maybe somebody will hear me.
Yeah,
and that's what I did. I was like, that's what I did. And I know it's probably not the right mentality, but I was like, I'm probably going to come for a job because this is not okay.
Listen to me. Listen. No, you don't have to worry about that, because one of my main goals is to get a PhD specifically so everybody that I hate has to call me doctor.
Okay. I'm Dr. So-and-so. I love that for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you have to call me doctor now, bitch. Like,
yes, I love that for you. And I think that was like my mentality, because I just kept seeing a lot of things and I was like, there's no way that this BCBA thought this was acceptable, like thought this was appropriate.
Right.
No way. I was like, I'm coming for her job for sure.
It's fine. Yeah. I'm driven through petty. If I could be petty,
yeah.
I'm gonna do it.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it right there.
Straight to success on the petty train. Like, oh, yeah. There's nothing that can stop at this point.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if you could like go back in time, would you still want to become an RBT? Or do you think that you would just keep pursuing teaching?
That's hard.
I know.
My gut is telling me, say you want to be an RBT because I've worked so hard, you know, I've worked to become a BCBA, and I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I'm fairly good at what I do.
Toot that horn, girl.
My company that I work for now, companies in the past, I am one of the best. I'm very good, but I worked hard at it. I studied. I was like, okay, I don't understand this. Let me go ask questions. I don't get this. And maybe it's like learned behavior of being a Black woman. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have to be on my game, because I don't want anybody to say, oh, well, she did it. Well, of course. Or like downplay me because I'm a Black woman. So
yeah.
I work so hard. Do I miss what I went to school for? Absolutely, because I went to be a special ed teacher. That's what I got my undergrad in. So I never know like what that would have looked like for me, or I will never know. Fortunately, COVID hit and I saw the effects it had on teachers. And sometimes I'm like, well, the thing I stayed as being an RPT because I was still working during the pandemic, you know? But I see some, you know, social media is big. You see, like, some teachers start their business. They do this. They do that. And I was like, I could have did that. I could have had it in school, in home school. I don't know. But I think it's hard to say. I do miss it, but I am so close to the finish line. I don't think at this point, like, this field has me. Like, I'm in for the long run.
So the job that I currently have now is in a school, and we are like a self-contained classroom. And the whole idea of it was that the teacher, the main teacher of that classroom, would also be a BCBA if you were interested.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I've never even heard of that.
I know. Well, we were like the guinea pig for like this model.
Okay.
I work in like a charter school, and they were like, and the person that connected us is the one, she like brought me in because I was drowning where I was before.
Yeah.
So the guinea pig model, and they took like all these kids that had these huge like explosive behaviors, put them in a room, and we did like ABA to like bring down their behaviors. And now we're at the point in the year where their behaviors are down, and now we're able to bring them up academically.
I love that.
It's super cool. It's super cool.
I love that.
Just like, you know, after you get your BCBA, look around, look in the school, you know? That's my plan.
That is definitely my plan, is to be a school BCBA.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Schools are where it's at.
Yeah.
Like, I only got 37 day working days left, and then I got the whole summer off. Girl, like,
I love that for you. I really do. Like, I cannot wait. I think that's where I'm at with it. I've been thinking long and hard, like, do I want to stay in the clinic? Right now, I'm in an in-home. I came from a clinic. But I was like, let's try something new. Let's do something new.
Actually, that was going to be my next question, is like, where are all the settings that you worked at? Because I was in an autism clinic and I did in home and
Yeah, I've been in an autism clinic. I've been in a hospital. I've been in home.
That's cool. I've said it a million times on this podcast. I'm going to say it again. I hate in home. I've had nothing but bad experience. Not nothing but. I've had more bad experiences than experiences in home. Which setting, like, would be your preferred so far that you've done?
So far, so far I think I'm going to take in home. I can tell you why. I strongly dislike both settings. Strongly dislike clinic setting. I strongly dislike in-home setting. They both have pros and cons. I think working in a clinic, you know, I would have session with kiddos. If the kiddo came, you know, we would do sessions, same kid, 4 hours, and then you switch and do another 4 hours. Long day. If you have two kids with high problem behavior, very long day. And then working in the hospital, we it was almost set up like doctor's appointments, if that makes sense. So yeah. Like if we had a kid come in, we would we would like support the kid in seeing like the doctor or work with the kid on help decreasing problem behavior. And if the kiddo, you know, didn't want to go to the doctor that day, I was sitting in the clinic doing nothing. I felt like I was becoming dumb because I would sit there most of my day. In home, it's hard. I think the company I'm at now, I kind of like the in-home setting better because the company I'm at set baseline expectations of, you know, parents need to be home, siblings there, parents definitely need to be home and you need to entertain the sibling. If the kid is sick, therapist is not coming in the home. I kind of like those clear cut expectations. Like there's no gray. It's either there needs to be a spot for the therapist to go. The in-home setting I'm in now, a lot of it is play based. I am fortunate and I am blessed that all the families I work with currently, a lot of them have invested in their kids' ABA therapy and in their learning. So I have access to a lot of different games, stimuli, and so it makes it smoother. A lot of our sessions don't go past, let's say, I don't, about 2.5-3 hours. Driving sucks. I hate that. But I think having those expectations and not having a gray area makes this setting a lot better for me. Yes, there are cons, you know, everybody upkeeps their space. Without saying too much, well, I'll be rude, but not everybody upkeeps their space, which makes it hard.
They don't.
But yeah, it's definitely, I feel like it's part, as a RBT, we are conditioned to be prepared for anything, learn for anything. So I think those days I'm like, I'm wearing my clean around the house clothes. I think it's just more so just being prepped and understanding like, okay, this is my boundary. I'm in a space now where if I said, you know, hey, I'm not comfortable, do I think they would be mad? Absolutely. But do I think they will honor it? Yes, because their company was based upon they said like the mental health of the therapist is our first priority. And if I was to say they feel comfortable, I'm pretty sure they would move me.
See, that's nice. That's I did not have that in home. I think that's where my like negativity for in home comes to. And oftentimes when I talk about it, you know, I get a lot of people, they're like, oh, well, it's so great because we get to work with the families and they get to see it. And I'm like, yeah, that can be great for somebody else. It is not great for Ashley. I would like my sessions would be from anywhere from 4 to sometimes 8 hours long with the same kid. And it would be like every single day. And then I would have to like
8 hours.
Yes, 8 hours. And I felt like I was just like, after a while, it felt like I was just kind of like raising them, like not babysitting, but raising.
Yeah. I can get why you said that. I definitely get why you said that.
And then it,
I
like,
can do that. Because I've been in situations that like that. And you're like, or you're babysitting.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is not what I signed up for.
I get you. You gotta come get your other kids because I'm not getting paid enough to give ABA to all five kids. So goodbye.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Right.
That was like one of my biggest little bugaboos of being in home. That like random family members coming over and then like staring at me and they're like, because you know, like we're not allowed to be like, oh, I'm their behavior person. They'd be like, why are you here for? And I was like, oh, I'm just working for the family. And they're like, why? What are you doing? Yeah. I'm like, I can't. It's like, you need to talk to their mom because I can't.
That does make it hard. I've not really ran into that. I think I have run into people like just showing up at my clients' homes. Yeah. But I think they have disclosed to their family like who I was before. Who I am. They never asked me, like, why are you here? Because I think at that point, I'd be like, talk to them, mom, or mom will tell you, or caregiver will tell you. Like, you feel us?
No.
Very much like, when I'm working, I am strictly there for the client. All the extra stuff, I don't care.
Yeah. It was like, no, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So then, the hospital, we talked about that. And then in the clinic, like you're just doing like clinic stuff. Just
yeah, what does that mean though? You know, I think that was my problem being in the clinic.
Yeah.
My old place, they would call it office hours. So I'm like, I'm an RBT. Like, what is office hours? Like, tell me, what am I supposed to be doing right now? I will never forget me and my coworker. We like came up with a strategy to like kind of let time go by when we didn't have one-on-one sessions with kiddos.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, we'll come up with a strategy. We're going to make stimuli. We're going to do all this stuff. And I would never forget when the BCBA came into the room, it was like, well, I can just do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what are we supposed to do? that's degrading. Like, I would never forget. They said to me, that's degrading. I can just do that. Why would I ask you? Yeah. And I was like, so you'd rather me sit here and twiddle my fingers? We came up with a system. We came up with a checklist. We came up with a plan. It was me and probably 6 other RBTs. We were the only 6 on the unit in the clinic. And we would cycle through like kids. We never saw the same kid over and over again. It just was whoever was available. But I'm like, that's 2 hours. What are we going to do for the other 6? Like, I'm confused. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. I want to say during like a Thanksgiving break. So obviously families were not there.
Yeah.
They were not there. But we were still, of course, expected to be there because we're RBT. Like, we don't have family. We don't have anything else to do.
No, but we have family.
So we were expected to. Yeah, we were expected to be in the clinic. And I remember it, and they were like, well, you guys can just clean the rooms. I was like, are you kidding me? I was so mad. I think that place really haunted me because I was like, it's degrading to make stimuli, but you want me to clean a treatment room, which I don't mind doing every once in a while, helping out, but a deep clean while you're on vacation, while you're enjoying time with your family, that is like punching me in the face.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I can't believe they just didn't like give you guys like anything to do. Like, so like in my clinic, like we had to make like social stories, even if we didn't need them. And we had to make a bunch of like visuals and like textbooks, just like prepare everything. Like, I think the one time I made like 20 textbooks in a month. And because the client, they just kept like not showing up, and they're like, okay, now you have your, they call ours admin time. They're like, now you have your admin time. So now you can just do all this stuff. And I would have like, I was so tired of laminator sheets.
Yeah. When I worked in a clinic setting, we used to laminate a lot of things and have backups and backups. So then when I went to the hospital, I was like, okay, like I'm the queen of the laminator. I can get 20 pecs on this sheet. Like I can do this. And then they were like, right. And they're like, that's degrading. We would never make you do that. But I was like, but sitting here doing absolutely nothing. I couldn't do my homework because, you know, they don't pay you to do your homework. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, you know, there's no kiddos on the unit. So I couldn't be in a session. I literally sat there with a computer open and waited for sometimes 8 hours of the day if all the sessions canceled. And I'm like, I really, at this point, or rather. And then you can't call off because then you get in trouble because now you're calling off too many times. So I was like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, like, it's a waste of money. Like, give me something to do.
Yes, I was like, the first, like, month we did that, I was like, it's cool. Like, I'm getting paid to stay here. Like, why am I complaining? But it got old really quick.
Yeah, well.
Really quick.
It's like, I'm not doing
it. Yeah. No. Yes, and that's where, again, I'm going to always speak highly of them. Those BCBAs I work with that I will forever love, I will forever be appreciative. They just started giving us stuff, random stuff. Hey, you want to learn how to do graphing? You want to learn how to construct this? Yes, teach me something. Because I'm literally sitting here on Instagram. Like, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm sitting here on Instagram and like, I could have did this at home with no bra on. Like,
yeah, for real. I could have been.
I don't want to be here. Right. I was like, I could have been at home. I didn't have to be here. And they definitely would try to make the day go by smoother. Yeah, definitely. But
no, I do love that we have BCBAs that do try to like teach us stuff. I've got like I have a solid three BCBAs in the last however many years that have like went out of their way to kind of like teach me stuff and make sure they actually gave me like constructive feedback. Like they weren't just like, oh, you're doing that, or you shouldn't do that. Like, and just complacently, like, let me just keep working. Like,
right.
But yeah,
I'm here with you. I got a solid four. Solid four.
I got my solid three. One of them is the one that connected us.
Mm-hmm.
Saint.
That's my ride or die.
She listens to all these. You're a saint. You know who you are.
Yes. I love you. You know that. I love you. I will forever love you. I will forever be grateful of you. I know you're listening, so I love you.
Oh, it's true. And it's like, it's hard to find. It's hard to find a BCBA who you feel like inspired by, because I was ready to give up on school. And then like I had my solid three and they're like, just keep going, Ashley. You know your stuff. Because like I'm still working. I only have like one semester left for my undergrad because like I did not want to do school at all. And then like, no, like you should do this. Like, and I was like, fine. You're right. I like money.
Yeah, no. Pretty much. I've been there. I've finished school and I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Unfortunately, my last placement, I had the worst experience obtaining these hours. Just the worst. And I would contact, you know, people outside, one of them being the person that connected us outside of here all the time and be like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. If this is how it's going to be, it's not worth my headache. It's not worth my stress. It's not worth dealing with rude, ignorant people. It's not worth it. They definitely kept me going. It was like, you know, you feel this way. What about the kiddos we work with? What about, you know, minority kiddos we work with?
Yeah.
They need you. And I was like, you're right. You're right.
Right. Fine.
Yes. You know, I did what I had to do in order to finish up my hours. Yeah. And I'm here. I'm here. And I owe a lot of it to my mentors. A lot of it to them.
Yep. Honestly, like 90% for me, because I really do hate school.
Yes, but you got this. You definitely got this.
Yeah, yeah. It takes forever. I'm impatient is what it is.
It does. Yeah. And just always remember, like, you know it. You've been in this field a while. You know your stuff. You just not gotta write an essay about it.
Yeah.
You know it. And that's how I got through school, honestly. I was like, I know this. I know what this means. I know. I've seen it implemented.
Yeah. Like, I've
seen
it.
Now, how do I make it sound juicy in a paper and find research behind it?
Trying to get that A.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's days where I was just like, I don't care. I can get a C on this paper. I don't care. But then I was like, you just got to get through school. Like, just get through it. And I was like,
these get degrees, and I'm just trying to get my degree.
Okay. And she's get them. She's get degrees, babe. They do.
Sometimes it just looks
They do. Yes. I love it. I love that. And I was like, yeah, that's the thing. It was like, just get through school. The hour's going to come. Just get through school.
Oh. Maybe. Maybe. No, I'll do it. All right. But that is our time. So we are going to go ahead and we are going to close out. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And then just for our listeners that are listening, if you are interested in hearing more of the podcast from Behavior Techs Anonymous, you can go ahead, you can listen to any podcast platforms. If you would like to be on the podcast or have a question or comment, you can go ahead and you can message me at Behavior Techs Anonymous on Instagram, and I will be sure to get back to you. Until the next meeting, thank you for coming, and I will see you next time.